Okay, we good? Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the June 16th, 2026 meeting of the Sussex County Council. We'll call the meeting to order, and first is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I see no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Okay, we'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second. Mr. Lloyd, any questions? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next is the approval of minutes of the June 9th, 2026 meetings. Are there any additions, deletions, or corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand as read. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Mr. President, I have none today.
Okay. All right, we'll move on to public comment. Now's the time for public comment. You'll have 3 minutes to comment on something the council has clear jurisdiction over. When the green light comes on, you'll have 3 minutes. When the amber light comes on, you'll have 1 minute. And when the red light comes on, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up. No one. Okay. Operator, would you check online, please?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Okay. Next is County Administrator, Mr. Lawson.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. Some appointments to get to today, starting with the reappointment of Mr. John Williamson on the Board of Adjustment. Mr. Williamson has indicated that he'd like to serve another 3 years, and I believe that is Mr. Hudson's.
It's mine, yes.
So I have a motion for your consideration.
Please give us a motion.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approve the reappointment of Mr. John Williamson to the Sussex County Board of Adjustment, effective immediately until such time as the term expires in June of 2029.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
All right, then we have three reappointments to the Planning Zoning Commission, starting with Mr. Scott Collins. This is District 3 appointment. Ms. Grunebaum, it's my understanding that you would like to reappoint Mr. Collins?
Yes, correct.
Okay, I have a motion for your consideration. Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the reappointment of Mr. Scott Collins to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, effective immediately until such time as the term expires in June of 2029.
Okay, pleasure of council.
A move for adoption.
Motion, Ms. Grunebaum?
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you. Next is District 2. This is for the reappointment of Mr. John Passwaters, and it's my understanding Mr. McCarron would like to make that reappointment.
Yes.
I have a motion for your consideration. Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the reappointment of Mr. John Passwaters to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, effective immediately until such time as the term expires in June of 2029.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. McCarron?
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you. And last is the reappointment of Mr. David Pettijohn. This is a District 5 appointment. I understand Mr. Riley would like to make that reappointment.
Yes, I would.
Okay, I have a motion for your consideration. Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the reappointment of Mr. David Pettijohn to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, effective immediately until such time as the term expires in June of 2029.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Next is the administrator's report.
Administrator's report for June 16th. Item one, the county offices will be closed on Friday, June 19th, in observance of the Juneteenth holiday. Offices will reopen on Monday, June 22nd. Item two, it's with great sadness that we inform you Pensioner Van Milligan passed away on Thursday, June 11th, 2026. Mr. Milligan began his career with Sussex County in May of 1979, where he worked until July of 2009 for a total of 30 years of service. His last position with the county was Chief of Building Code. We'd like to extend our condolences to the Milligan family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Mr. Moore, can we start the public hearing now? It says 10:15, or do we have to wait?
We would need to wait till 10:15 so you can move on to some other matters.
Okay, I'll move down to the next one, Ms. Karen Brewington. Human Resources Director. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council and administration. So I'm here to announce the second quarter Shining Star winner. We have one this time. We had 22 submissions. The Shining Star Committee selected Marcia Elliott from the Human Resources Department. Marcia is my Human Resources Manager. So at this time, I would like to read her Shining Star submission. If she looks like a deer in headlights, she has no idea. So she received the Customer Service Star from Andy Wright, who is our Chief of Building Code. On behalf of my family, I would like to thank and recognize Marcia for taking time to meet my father and assisting him with county forms and processes after the passing of my mother. Marcia took time out of her schedule, drove to his dad's in Laurel, and went over all the forms with him during that difficult time. So Andy wanted to say thank you for going above and beyond and demonstrating real customer service. So if I could have Marcia come up and council along with Mr. Lawson, Ms. Jennings, come down.
Okay, I'm going to move on down. Mr. Harmer, are you ready? County Engineer. Good morning.
Good morning. Mike Harmer, County Engineer. The first item I'll brief is a change order for the Inland Bays Loop Project S24-01. As you may recall, the Inland Bays Loop Project S2401 included over 7 miles of mostly 18-inch and 24-inch diameter ductile iron pipeline with concrete meter vaults and 12 locations where the effluent disposal was planned. The Loop Project was publicly advertised, and 12 contractors attended the pre-bid meeting on February 21st, 2024. On March 14th, 2024, 7 bids were received, with Atlantic Contracting and Material Company being the lowest responsible base bid. On April 9th, 2024, County Council awarded Loop Project S24-01 to Atlantic Contracting and Material Company, Inc. in the amount of $7,649,916. The Loop Project was the initial step towards constructing a treated effluent distribution system in the Inland Bays wastewater facility. The design and permitting continued, with anticipated components of the loop system including forested spray field header piping, forested spray field diffuser piping, treated effluent storage, and electrical powering and communication controls through our SCADA system, which is a supervisory control and data acquisition system. Change orders 1 and 2 were presented and approved by County Council on October 14, 2024. Change order number 3 was presented and approved by County Council on September 9, 2025. To complete the necessary meter vault elements, the engineering department requested Atlantic Contracting Materials to develop a new unit price items to furnish and install the metering equipment, to install valving materials procured directly by Sussex County, and to furnish and install the related pipe and fittings to fully construct the meter vault mechanics. The final power and communication needs will be addressed in the near future via the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility plant upgrade controls or contracts. As requested, Atlantic Contracting Incorporated Materials presented the change order 4 to incorporate the meter vault mechanicals along with the owner-directed modifications, including spray field clearing, meter equipment storage, and additional polyethylene piping, which is the distribution piping off the headers, the ductal headers. Also included are several credits with the contract work items. A 365-day contract extension is provided for coordination of the remaining loop project and the startup of the overall treatment plant, treatment upgrade system. So the engineering department recommends council approve change order number 4 for the project S24-01 in the amount of $227,215.40. And I have a motion unless there's any questions.
Please give us your motion.
All right. Be it moved, based upon the recommendations of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that change order number 4 for contract S24-01 Inland Bays Loop Project be approved, increasing the contract by $227,215.40.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Cornabell.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carries.
All right, the second contract that I'm here to brief is a final balancing change order and substantial completion for the South Coastal Regional Library HVAC project. As you may recall, the South Coastal Library HVAC systems, which serve the general collection area, the teen center, the lobby, the office, and supply areas, were at the end of their useful service life. We had refrigerant leaks and issues with the heat exchangers, which plagued both units. Prior to the HVAC replacement project, the office and supply areas had to rely on portable cooling units starting in the summer of 2024 as the refrigerant leaks could not be repaired. The new equipment is more energy efficient than the existing equipment and has greater ability to modulate capacity, ensuring occupancy comfort is maximized throughout the year. Along the way, we discovered that a roof replacement project was needed. Because when we had to pull the old unit out and put the new unit in, we had to cut a hole in the roof. That's the only way we could get it out. And so the roof replacement, along with the HVAC projects, are completely done and at the substantial completion stage. So this is just a balancing change order to credit the Joseph T. Richardson Incorporated project. Which had a bid of $344,000, this be a credit of $45,000 to the county, resulting in a base of $299,000 for Richardson. And our project manager, Tom Van Dyke, has done a great job and gone above and beyond, as you heard when he got the Shining Star nomination a few months ago. So I have a motion here unless there's any questions.
Okay, please give us your motion.
All right, thank you. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that the final balancing change order 1 for contract G23-24 South Coastal Library HVAC replacements be approved, decreasing the contract amount by $45,000, and that the substantial completion be granted on June 16th, 2026, with any held retainage released in accordance with the contract documents.
That doesn't happen much, does it?
That's a very good project. No change orders.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Ms. Cornabell. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Cornabell.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
All right. I believe now we can go back on the agenda to our 10:15 public hearings.
Well, Mr. President, we still have 1 minute, so it would be appropriate.
I was looking at that clock, sorry.
If you wanted to ask for zoning or the proposed zoning ordinances to be read, and there are none.
And there aren't.
So, and we now have come to the 10:15 hour.
Perfect timing,
so we
can go. As usual.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. We're going to have the public hearings on the fiscal year 2027 budget and related ordinances and motion. And there's going to be the public hearings on each and every one of those. They will be handled separately. I will give a short introduction in the way of the title. Then it will be turned over to Mrs. Jennings, who will then give a presentation explaining the ordinance and the motion along with potentially her staff that's worked on this. After that, any member of the public that would like to comment, it feels free to come forward and they're able to comment. Please give your name and address before you make your comment. And the first matter that's on the agenda is the assessment rolls for sewer and water districts. Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. The assessment rolls reflect the county's records for equivalent dwelling units, or EDUs, and billable front footage for each sewer and water district. These records have been made available in the billing office for public inspection and review. These records are subject to individual appeal via the Board of Assessment Review. This is not a public hearing on the water and sewer rates. This public hearing is for the list of properties and their applicable front footage and EDUs that would be billed by the rates established in the rate ordinance. I'll now turn it back over to Mr. Moore to conduct the public hearing.
Yes. Are there any questions from council before we start? If not, is there any member of the public that would like to discuss the assessment rules for sewer and water districts? Is there anyone that would like to discuss this? Seeing no one in the room, operator, is there anyone listening remotely that would like to comment?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Thank you. Mr. President, this time we can close the public record and close the public hearing. And Ms. Jennings does have a motion.
Okay, if it's okay with council, we'll close the public hearing and close the public record. Okay, Ms. Jennings.
Okay, the motion is, be it moved that the Sussex County Council adopts the assessment rolls for the Sussex County Unified District and Water District for the period of July 1st, 2026 through June 30th, 2027.
Okay, pleasure of council. Motion. Mr. McCarron?
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunerbaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunerbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion carried.
And, Mr. President, the next matter is an ordinance to establish the sewer and water rates. And again, Mrs. Jennings will give a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Real quick, there's one slide on the water and sewer rates. As you recall, during the introduction, the water service is projected to go up $90 annually. That's $450 per EDU to $540 EDU. The service charge is to go up $36 annually, which is $352 per EDU to $388 per EDU. And you will notice there were eight changes. Two are the assessment rates, all in which they are going down because of growth in the area or their debt being paid down. Okay, turn it back over to Mr. Moore.
Okay. Mr. President, are there any questions from any of the council members?
Any questions?
Nope. Seeing none, is there any member of the public that would like to speak on this issue? The ordinance to establish the sewer and water rates. Is there anyone here today that would like to comment on this? Anyone? Seeing none. Operator, is there anyone listening remotely that would like to opine? Operator, is there anyone listening remotely that would like to opine?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter and close public record. And if so, I do have an ordinance.
Okay, it's okay with council. We'll close the public hearing and close the public record. Okay, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the code of Sussex County. An ordinance establishing annual service charges, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment and connection charges for all Sussex County water and sanitary sewer districts.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Ms. Grunerbaum.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunerbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. And the next matter, Mr. President, is a hearing on the ordinance to add a surcharge on building permits for schools. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. So as you recall, you introduced an ordinance to add a school surcharge to the building permits. We have worked on this for multiple months. We had a cost study done to make sure that our building permits were equitable before applying this fee to the different types of construction. So it would apply, the way the ordinance is written, for all permits above $150,000. Their non-residential commercial permits would be up to $1 million. There are multiple exemptions in this ordinance. Any projects funded by the Delaware State Housing Authority or funded by the Delaware State Housing Authority, any improvements that have gone through the Sussex County Rental Program, the 501c3 organizations would be exempt, building structures devoted to agriculture and public safety uses, and any replacement or destroyed demolished structures within 24 months of being rebuilt would also be exempt. So this would be an application process through the school. We would be doing the collections over starting in July. Then this time next year, they have the opportunity to apply to be put in next year's budget to apply for those funds, and they can be used for capital projects related to expansion or capacity related. There's multiple things here. Proceeds have to be qualified as matching funds for the applicable project through the state of Delaware. They have to have a certificate of necessity through the state of Delaware as well before proceeding. The recommended rate is $5 per $1,000 of construction value, where $4.70 per $1,000 goes to the local school district and 30 cents per the $1,000 would go to Sussex Tech. This has been modeled off of Kent County's ordinance. They are $12.50 per $1,000, but again, their construction values are a lot lower than ours because we are now updating those. You'll see the type of structures and what kind of tax that would bring in. If you looked at 2025 permits, this does affect dwellings mostly, bringing in $5.5 million. And then over on the right, you can see what the estimate, if the activity would stay at what our 2025 was, this is what each school district would bring in. So it'll be generating about $7 million per year based off of that 2025 activity. And I'll now turn it back over to Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Jennings. Are there any questions from council?
I just want to acknowledge, I think this is an important step in protecting existing taxpayers in Sussex County from the cost of growth on their tax bills. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, any questions? Not, we'll start the public hearing. Is there anyone that would like to address this issue, the ordinance to add a surcharge on building permits for schools? Sir, if you want to come forward.
Morning.
Morning, Mr. President, members of the council. My name is Jason Hale. I'm the Director of Operations for the Cape Henlopen School District, and I just wanted to come before you and personally thank you on behalf of myself, as well as really all the school districts in Sussex County. This is a monumental day for us. So I just wanted to get up, and I know this is a lot of hard work. Would like to personally recognize Gina Jennings for her tremendous work, but just thank all of you for this.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak on this matter? Sir?
Morning.
Good morning, County Council. My name is Johannes Sayer. I live in Lewis. I want to thank county government for building this new regulation for a building permit fee to support county school districts. Those kids who are in our schools today, sometime soon, are going to be the people helping us in local businesses, government agencies, hopefully staying here to farm on their family's land, and maybe coming back as doctors and other professionals. I don't need to tell you that those kids are our future, and supporting them is something that serves all of us. When we think about the money being made on property development here, we need to remember that that's substantially motivated by providing return to investors on those projects. In an example I'm familiar with, 60 units of a development were bought by a rental management company and are now being rented at market rates. That's not exactly contributing to our affordable housing stock. To date, we see the effects of population growth brought by development exceeding limits on finite natural and municipal resources, and the lack of coordination between that growth and funding for those resources all around us. I'm all for people making money, but if their business model can only do that by externalizing costs to their fellow citizens, then their business model needs to change. And we know developers and their investors will still make plenty of money, even if they contribute to those public resources. They just won't do it on the backs of the public. This is another instance where you are confronted by the difficult task of balancing protection of individual rights with protection of the public interest, and I thank you for your action here.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address this issue? Anyone else? Seeing none, Operator, is there anyone listening remotely that would like to comment?
If there's anyone on the line who would like to make a comment, please dial 5-star. Again, if there is anyone on the line who would like to make a comment for this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, no one wishes to speak.
Thank you, Operator. Mr. President, at this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires to close public record, and then I would have an ordinance to read.
Okay, if it's okay with council, we'll close the public hearing and close the public record. Okay, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 62, Article 3, Section 62-7, entitled Fees for Permits and Applications, to add a new 62-7J, which shall establish a school surcharge on building permit applications to generate revenue for capital improvements for local school districts and Sussex Technical High School.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Motion to introduce.
Motion, Mr. McCarron.
Second.
Second, Ms. Cornerbell. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Cornerbell.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
This is a difficult vote for me because I'm concerned that council is now embarking on a path that takes us out of our lane, so to speak, into being a fundraising mechanism for the schools in a new way, which is, I don't believe is our primary responsibility. I believe it rests with the state more so. And it concerns me because this is another impact fee that's being added in addition to the 4% transfer tax that we already assessed. And we know that every dollar that we raise the price of a house, certain individuals are priced out of the market, and that impacts the affordable housing market disproportionately from the upper levels of home buyers. And so it's difficult. But on the other hand, you know, we have the concept that people moving into the area should bear the expense of the additional burden that comes as a result of them moving here, rather than having the people that live here bear the burden as well. So on balance, I find that I'm going to vote yes, but it's not without some reservation.
Okay, and I will also vote yes, but I'd like to recognize Ms. Jennings and her team for all our hard work on this. It's a big undertaking, but okay, I vote yes, and motion carried.
And we have one more, and that is the public hearing on the ordinance establishing the annual operating budget. Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. So I have a few slides, nothing like what you saw at the workshop or even at the introduction. It's a scaled-down version of the budget. But just as a refresher, this fiscal year 2026 operating budget, with the, it also has the capital funds and all this on this slide, is $300 million. That's a 5.2% increase. But I do want to focus on that the general operation budget is increasing very relative to inflation at 3.6%. There are some fluctuations in the capital projects and our utility funds for major improvements. The revenue highlights, I do want to say that we are balancing the budget using $39 million of realty transfer tax. That's 36% of all of our revenue. Taxes make up 22%. This could be the library tax, the general tax, any of the fees on those taxes as well. Charges for services include fees for permits, licenses. That's about 13% of our budget. Other financing is the use of our savings. That is $12.8 million. Now, over time, we do build up savings for certain projects, and that's what we're using those savings for. Intergovernmental are grants that we receive from other governments. That's 11% of the revenue. And then miscellaneous, that's mostly our interest, and that's 6%. The changes in fees that are in this budget is revision to the building permit fee. If you remember, we did a cost analysis. We had to true that up, making sure everybody's paying their fair share. So there's a distribution, who is paying what. There, the school surcharge, you just had the building permit and the public hearing on that. So that has been passed. The building plan replacement fees, public hearing, re-advertising fees, plan and zoning review fees, and the buy right application fees are all new fees to make sure that we are covering our costs when they come in and ask for a service. The street naming fee, this is something that the Geographical Information Office asked for. We have a lot of developers that come in and they ask for us to look at different subdivision naming, the street names. They'll give them a list, say this works, and then they'll come back. So we want to start covering our time when they come back a second time and say they want some new names. And then the sewer construction phase design modification, tier two. You approved tier one. This is tier two. This will require county engineer approval or his designee. That's a $1,000 fee for requests. The general fund operation budget summary, as I said a couple slides ago, overall, we are keeping with inflation. It's 3.6% increase. You'll see the biggest increases are in grant and aid and personnel, personnel being 2.4 million. This is in line where we're giving all the employees 3% COLA, and then they also get a possible merit. The grant and aid, that's increasing $3 million. This has to do with the new initiatives with the fire companies, the accommodation tax collections. As we collect that, that builds up over time as well. And the Delaware State Police MOU has increased. So that is where your biggest increases are. The sewer operation budget, you can see here, I want to focus specifically on the capital. You'll see that it's gone up $4.9 million. That's 42%, where it's an overall $8.5 million. And that's specifically for pump station rebuilds. You'll see their personal costs have not gone up. That is because the way we are moving staff around, we needed to move another employee from sewer over to water. And then you can see where we're allocating in the administration line some of those salaries. So it becomes a wash. So then moving over to the water summary, now you will see where personal costs have gone up because we moved that employee over there. But the focus here is on the other contractual services and utilities. At $2.9 million is very close to where the total is going up at $2.7 million. That is a 130% increase. Our water districts are very small, but this has to do with the water tower that needs to be repaired and upgraded this year. And we have known that. We have been putting money over aside over time, knowing that this was coming. I'm going to turn it back over to Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mrs. Jennings. Are there any questions from council? If not, is there anyone here today that would like to discuss the ordinance establishing the annual operating budget? Is there anyone that would like to comment? I see a hand up.
Good morning.
Sure. I'm Brian Pepper. I'm a lifelong resident. Excuse me, your microphone is turned off.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm a lifelong resident of Sussex County. I've been in the fire service for 41 years. The last 33 years as treasurer of the Lewis Fire Department. When I became treasurer in 1992, Lewis ran 1,425 fire and EMS calls. We had a budget of $482,000. Of which the county contributed $40,700, 9%. We had two part-time employees. In 2025, we ran 7,932 calls, 557% increase. We had a budget of $5.3 million. The county contributed $556,000, 10% of our budget. We have 25 full-time employees and 15 part-time. 2024, the county and the state did a facet study. That information today is 3 years old. It did not address staffing, and it did not address continual growth in this county. The report compared Sussex County to Nashville, Tennessee. The cost of running Sussex County Fire Service at that time was $45 million. The cost of running the fire service in Nashville was $206 million. The cost of Sussex County contributed was $5.1 million. In 3 years, the Nashville budget has gone up $31.5 million for the fire service. This year, you proposed to the county to contribute for $7.6 million to fund fire and EMS, which is a $2.1 million increase since the study. Only $500,000 more than we spend on libraries. And your budget, as Gina just stated, includes a 2% merit raise, 3% for COLA, 10% increase for health insurance. Where are the fire departments going to get that money to pay our employees? In the facet on report on page 60, it states county departments need to have $19.5 million for debt service and equipment set aside every year. But the current funding levels, we can't do that. That's not attainable. We only get 20% of the people in our fire district contribute. That's wrong. In 2026, we shouldn't be out begging for money to fund emergency services. We need to move forward with a fire tax so everybody pays. Almost every Tuesday, you approve more developments, which means more calls and more expense. We need to step up and fund the fire and emergency services at a level that's realistic. Sussex County residents deserve and visitors deserve better. It's a matter of life or death. I hope you'll consider that and increase the fire service budget because we are not funding fire departments at the level we should be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to comment? Anyone else like to comment? Seeing none, operators, or anyone listening remotely that would like to opine?
If there is anyone on the line who would like to make a comment, please dial 5-star. We have Michael on the line. Michael, your line is open.
Good morning, Council. My name is Michael Suit. I am the president with the Sussex County Firemen's Association. First of all, I wanted to have the opportunity to say thank you to the council and to Ms. Jennings for the work that we have done in reference to having some increase into our budget when it comes to even line items and funding. We couldn't do this without you all, and we appreciate all the effort that you guys have made. With that being said, yesterday we did meet with our partners in the fire service and gave them an update on the programs that are being offered. And those programs were received, and we had a lot of feedback from them as well. And we plan on taking that feedback back to our resource committee, and then eventually it will end up back as a vote with our association. With that being said, I realize that Mr. Pepper mentioned in reference to the fire tax. We did talk about that as well. We know that that's eventually coming up around the road. As discussed and mentioned, that we're planning on bringing that up at the end of the year and into next year to discuss for possibly the 2028 fiscal year. Anyways, I wanted to at least speak up and let you guys know that I do realize that we are doing what we can for what we have. And I thank you all for the effort that you all are making.
Thank you. Operator, is there anyone else that would like to comment?
If there is anyone else on the line who would like to make a comment, please dial 5-star. We have Greg on the line. Greg, your line is open.
My name is Greg Cordell, and I've attended the budget meetings and so forth. And I want to commend Gina Jennings and her staff for years of service to us. And particularly in this budget, her scouring for cost savings and trying to balance a budget that has now perennially been balanced by reserve usage, which is a dangerous situation, which she has tried strongly to influence the county council that we cannot continue in this fashion. You've heard from the fire service. You've heard from the library folks. There are areas of services that don't exist in Sussex County, like a Parks and Recreation Department. This area deserves additional services and strengthened services. The rates for the EMS but to come out and do their jobs are commendable, but not increasing their staffs and not increasing their resources is a definite weakness. There are ways to raise revenue that the county council has continuously rejected in terms of tax increases. For me to come from New Jersey 15 years ago, paying $15,000 a year in school and real estate taxes, obviously was obscene. To coming here in 15 years later and paying $1,000 on an equal value home is also questionable. Please look for creative ways to protect those who cannot afford additional taxes. But obviously, the homes that are being built for $700, $1 million, $2 million can. I realize that there should be work on the tax situation because the beachfront properties are getting so much of the penalty of this readjustment. But you really need to look at that and create a way to balance and also to increase tax revenue so we're not living on a shoestring and can create a community that is deserving of greater services from our government. So thank you for listening to me, and I appreciate your work. Thank you.
Thank you. Operator, is there anyone else that would like to comment?
At this time, there is no one else on the line.
Thank you, Operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
Mr. President, can I make a comment?
Sure.
I would just like to, I've heard a few things, and regarding the last caller, if somebody had an idea for a functional homesteader's fee or homesteader's tax, I'm all ears. But the second thing, something near and dear to my heart, is certainly the fire service. And while I may agree with a lot of things that Mr. Pepper says, and I share the same concerns, this is something that 3 years ago, there was the, before my time on council, there was a facets audit. So that acknowledges that the council does feel that this is an important issue. There is also the SCVFA. So when we hear individuals come up here to the dais and make requests, that is an individual request. But the council, the county administration spent a lot of time working specifically with the SCVFA. And as somebody that has taken part in SCVFA meetings and been a part of that organization, that is their purpose. Their sole purpose is to negotiate and make sure they're advocating for the fire service in Sussex County. And Sussex County did listen to them, and Sussex County did some responsible things as far as saving money. And first, let's make sure we're more efficient. But this is going to be an ongoing issue. I don't see this issue going away. So to think that we have finally solved the fire service funding, I don't think anybody said that. I think this is going to be an issue that comes back every year. Personnel is certainly, I agree with you, personnel is a cost that is going to continue to escalate. This county is certainly not shrinking. But, I do want to acknowledge the amount of work that has gone on by county staff with the agreement of the SCVFA, and the president of the SCVFA even and called and, expressed his appreciation. So, I hope and know that this will be an ongoing conversation, and, the fire service is something near and dear to me, and I hope to continue to be part of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else?
Sorry, just want to echo my colleague's statements. I don't need or want to add to it, but I think it's really critically important that we continue to work on finding ways to ensure that our fire service is adequately supported.
Thank you. Okay, at this time, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing, close the public record. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you. Have a short ordinance, an ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2027.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption. Adoption.
I heard two of you at one time. Heard Mr. Lloyd first. Motion, Mr. Lloyd second. Mr. Riley, any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
And I vote yes, motion carried. Next up is old business. I don't believe we skipped anything. Let me double check. Yeah, we're up to old business. Good morning, Mr. Whitehouse.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of Council. We have multiple items of old business this morning. The first is conditional use number 2631 filed on behalf of Zion Church Ventures, LLC. County Council may remember this from two County Council meetings ago where there was a public hearing. The applicant was not in attendance at the public hearing, and we have, within the last week and included in your paperless packet, on June 11th, received a petition from the applicant requesting reconsideration through a new public hearing for that application, and then that comes to you for consideration.
Okay.
Yes, that is correct. It's on for old business. We cannot act on it today, for old business cannot have a vote because there was a lack of a public hearing, because of some confusion that occurred concerning that. The applicant did file the correct procedure in submitting a letter asking a permission to have that rescheduled so they can appear.
Okay.
So it would be voting simply on their request for a being able to come back and reschedule the hearing.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunbaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. And Mr. Whitehouse, I would like to get that back on the agenda ASAP, please.
Understood. If we advertise it today, I think we can get it back to you for your meeting on the second week of July.
So that would be great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Next item of all business is conditional use number 2614 filed on behalf of FFPDE Vines Creek LLC. This is an ordinance for solar arrays to be located on certain parcels of land lying on the north side of Vines Creek Road, which is Route 26, approximately 0.31 mile west of Sandy Landing Road. County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held at Council's meeting of April 14th of this year. At the conclusion of the public meeting, County Council deferred for further consideration.
Okay. More.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for solar arrays to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 24.97 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 9 with conditions 10A through I.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second. Mr. McCarron. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes, based upon the testimony heard during the public hearing and the recommendation of planning and zoning.
Okay, Mr. Lloyd.
I vote yes for the same reason, based on testimony and P&Z.
Ms. Grunbaum.
I vote yes based on the testimony before us and the recommendation of planning and zoning.
Mr. Riley.
I also agree with planning and zoning's recommendation and that plus the testimony we heard, I vote yes.
I also agree with planning and zoning. I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. Our next item is change of zone number 2053, filed on behalf of Seaside at Lewis LLC and Derrickson Properties LLC. The County Council may remember this from last week's public hearing. The Council left the public record open until close of business yesterday to receive any additional public comments. Having checked our systems this morning, I don't believe we have received any additional comments, but this was placed on the record to announce that the public record automatically closed at the end of business yesterday. So.
Okay.
Yes, there would be no vote taking today. It's just an announcement of those additional public comments. Now it can be placed back on for a vote under old business.
Okay, so we'll just all we're doing is closing the public record.
Yes.
Correct. Okay.
Correct. Next item of old business is conditional use number 2540 filed on behalf of La Dolce Far Niente LLC. Again, like the last item, County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held last week. This is an application for a self-storage facility. And again, County Council left the public record open until close of business yesterday to receive additional comments. I can confirm, having checked this morning, I cannot see any additional public comments having been received. And so this was placed on solely to announce that the public record automatically closed at the close of business yesterday. So.
Okay, Mr. Moore?
That's the same as the prior one. We cannot act on it today. It was just automatically closed public record 4:30 p.m. yesterday, and you can put it back on now for
okay. Later. All right, meeting. So we're going to close the public record.
And then our last item of all business is conditional use 2604, filed on behalf of Alvaro E. Perez Roblero. County Council Member Mathis, just like the last two items, it was left open until close of business yesterday to receive additional comments. I can confirm that we do receive two extra comments, which have been included in your paperless packets and accessible to you. And again, this was placed on the agenda just to announce that the record automatically closed at close of business yesterday.
Okay. Mr. Moore?
I have the same comment as the prior two.
Okay, thank you.
Please.
We'll close the public record. Okay. I think that wraps that up.
That's it. Thank you.
A grant request, Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first request is from the town of Laurel. They're requesting $1,400 for their 4th of July fireworks display. Last grant received for this event was $2,000 from Mr. Lloyd, and Mr. Lloyd placed on the agenda.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yep, thank you. Can I fund it, Gina, with the full amount from my account? I think it's $1,200.
You have $1,200, yes.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Lloyd, to grant.
So they need
$1,200?
$200 more, yes.
I would second it with $200.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan.
Okay, so motion.
Or what's the original request?
$1,400.
Okay, $200.
Okay, motion, Mr. Lloyd, to grant $1,200, and second with Mr. Riley to grant $200. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a total of $1,400. Okay, are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carry.
Okay, the next one is True Blue Jazz. They're requesting $10,000 for their 14th anniversary True Blue Jazz Festival with focus on youth education and jazz. Last grant received for this event was the amount of $7,262, which was $2,000 from Countywide Youth, $2,150 from Mr. Riley, $1,662 from Mr. Hudson, $650 from Ms. Grunbaum, $400 from Mr. Lloyd, $400 from Mr. McCarron, and Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
Good morning, Council.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking the time to see us again. It's that time of year. You want to start?
Here she is. Peggy Raley. Hey, thanks for seeing us. As Gina just said, 14th annual, and we've got a lot of great stuff coming, and Peggy's going to talk about it. The book has a couple of handouts in it. One particular is relative to our scholarship winners this year, and then also a major donation that we made to Cape Henlopen High School, which is kind of an interesting story, but carry on, Peggy.
Well, so most of you guys know us and you know what we do, and we're here to talk about kids and music and the importance of that in our community and how that also relates to our residents and our visitors with the programming we bring with True Blue Jazz Festival. True Blue Jazz is a straight-ahead festival. What does that mean? That means the origins of jazz, the Great American Songbook, and all of that good stuff. We are funded solely by the community, and no huge corporate sponsors, all local businesses, the generosity of the council in the past, and we provide a lot of opportunities. Certainly we have ticketed headline shows, headliner shows, but we also work with local restaurants in our community and provide opportunities, multiple opportunities across our weekend for locals and their families to come out and see free entertainment. Not everything is ticketed, so we give people a lot of opportunity to come out and support local businesses and get to hear an array of local and regional performers. Our headline artists actually come into the schools and masterclass and clinic with the kids. And I can tell you in 14 years of doing this and with my previous experience with the Scotty Jazz Foundation, when you can get those artists one-on-one with the kids, it's life-altering. And we've had several young people in this community that made a decision to have a career in music because of those opportunities. And if you actually look at some of the testimonials that are here from some of our former scholarship recipients, one of those young people, Isaac, has just come back home as a teacher, as a music teacher in the Cape Henlopen High School District. Jackie Johnson is going, she just graduated Temple. She's going on for a career in music, and I'm actually really delighted to have her actually come perform at the festival this year with me on the bill as a performer. As Eddie started to tell you, one of the big deals for us last year was that we were able to give an amazing instrument to Cape And the piano in question was donated to True Blue Jazz in 2021, and it just happened to belong to Burt Bacharach. It was the piano in his home, and when you, I'm getting chills telling you this, but when you sat at that piano, guys, and you put your hands on those keys, it just made you shudder. Like, what did he write on this piano? These kids lost their minds when this piano rolled into the auditorium. These kids had played nothing but electronic keyboards in the keyboard room, and that's great at something, but these kids, they couldn't contain themselves. It was a very emotional experience, and you know,
this is a Baldwin
9-foot concert grand, and this piano was a station piano in Los Angeles. It has been played by obviously Burt Bacharach. It was in his home. It was played by Ray Charles. It was played by Elton John, Stevie Wonder, Liberace. But these kids, you know, so who knows? When you give the kids these opportunities that we bring, you might have the next Brahms. You might have the next Stevie Wonder. You might have the next Ray Charles. But they need the opportunity for that. We've got a great lineup coming in this year, and we're really, really excited about it. There are several of you here who've been to our shows, so you know what we do. Not only the headliner shows where we bring in the legends of jazz and the up-and-coming artists in this music, but again, we also have the opportunity for people to see a lot of free music. We do a 6-hour big band marathon at the Rehoboth Beach Fire Company every year. Now, that is a ticketed event. However, it is a quarter of the ticket price for another festival in town, shall we say. They get 6 hours of music, and every penny of that ticket money goes to the Rehoboth Beach Fire Company. So we support our first responders, and it's a, you know, it's a beautiful thing to do. It's a we enjoy it. The fire company loves having the music there, and we always start that concert with a local high school jazz band. So the kids take the stage first. And it's just, you know, it's a great way to give back to the community. We also provide instruments. We've done instrument donation from everywhere from, you know, Sussex Tech, certainly across Cape. We've gone into Woodbridge. We've done Seaford. We take the programs around the county as we can. And, you know, that's, Eddie, if I missed anything, please. That's it in the nutshell, really.
Just to highlight, there are two scholarship winners this year, Riley Choma and Reed Williamson, pictured here at Delaware All-State Jazz. We had, just a couple of years ago, we had the entire rhythm section of All-State Jazz in Delaware.
We're all our kids, Sussex County.
Students. Yeah. That unheard of, never happened before. So we've got, you know, a lot of success with many, many players over the years, and, you know, even if it's one kid that it opens up a career that they never, ever considered. And it's not just performing. Like Peggy said, Isaac Weathersby now returning to Cape as a teacher.
Yeah.
A lot of them do go on to music education. And so we're happy we can continue to do the scholarships. And we do, you know, instrument donation and you know, everywhere we can support a kid along the way, we do. But in the big picture, and why we're here, is art does not flourish or survive without the merger of commerce and finance. Yeah. So here we are, and we need your support, as you have been doing for us each and every year, and we hope you'll give till it hurts, like I do every time I go up on the stage. And believe me, I leave them weeping for me to get off and get Peggy on. And then that's when the real good crying starts, because she kills them every time. So thank you all. And,
you know, folks, kids' ability to engage in music in a time in society where young people are so unengaged and they spend their life here. You know, a screen is handed to them at 3 years old. I don't know if any of you have taken your kids or grandkids to see Toy Story over the years, but you know Toy Story 5 is out, and it's actually about a screen object displacing the toys, Right. I mean, it's
even a storyline.
I know it's tough. but it's when kids are actively engaged in music, whether it's band or whether it's choir, being actively engaged in either performing music or playing an instrument, you know, but singing or playing an instrument is one of the only things you'll do in your lifetime that engages both hemispheres of your brain at one time. Being in band and choir engages them. It makes them part of a community, and they rely on one another. You're teaching them skills that don't happen much anymore. Kids get it in a sports environment, but being involved in music, they rely on each other, and it can't be about who's running the touchdown. It has to be about everybody working in concert together, or it sounds really, really bad. Right? And we all know from the studies that children that are actively engaged in music have higher math and reading scores. All of their cognitive scores skyrocket when they start. One of the most recent studies that we just saw was within 60 days of a child learning to play an instrument, math scores go up 17%. So you're engaging kids in a way that is really healthy to them, and brings to our society kids that are better equipped to engage with each other and the world around them. And that's why we do what we do. So we hope you will support us as always.
And the personal relationships within those band situations, whether it's a garage band or whether it's in a school setting, those are lifetime relationships. I'm working with guys now that I've been playing with for 50 years. Somebody stopped me. But you know, you can't. You love it. It's a, and I know on the sports side, there's guys that if they could be out there on the field doing it. And you just saw in the DC game where the Schmidt, the 50-year-old rep, made that diving catch.
It was
unbelievable, and. I don't know, you know, guys that can still do it, they want to go out and, again, give till it hurts. And I think he got hurt.
He's going to hurt, yeah.
He made the catch.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time and consideration.
Yeah. Ms. Jennings?
So.
I understand.
Yep. So we can use, we have $3,875 left in countywide youth. And this qualifies for countywide youth with their youth scholarship program that they have.
Okay, Mr. Riley.
And I think I'm at 25.
You're at 2,500 now.
I don't know of any more requests coming in for the rest of the year. And
you're at 2,500?
We have more than we can defer to.
Correct.
I'll go 25.
Okay.
And, I will clean out at my account.
Okay. And Ms. Gornabell?
Yeah, I'm cleaning out also. However, I only have 850 left, so
okay.
That's it.
And I would do 1775 from District 4's account. So, okay, wait a minute. If here we are with, we have a motion and a second.
And I can read it for you.
Okay, and that would be how I have it figured. If Mr. McCarron, if you go in with 200, that would be $9,200?
Correct, it's $9,200.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to donate $9,200 to True Blue Jazz. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Ms. Riley?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion carries.
Thank you very much, and the kids, thank you. And. Please, any other shows, let us know. We want to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next, introduction of proposed ordinances. Mr. Moore?
We already handled that matter, and there were none.
I'm sorry. Council member comments.
I will make a
Mr. Riley.
Quick comment. And it's just kind of a general observation about kind of the trending politics in this state. Vis-a-vis state versus county. And I find some troubling trends in that everyone knows that the county lost the appeal for the lawsuit regarding our decision on the Dagsboro substation, which in morality to me was actually a My thought process in agreeing to pursue that was the county should have the right to make that decision, not the state. I understand that there's a counter argument, obviously, because we lost, but I still hold that decisions of that nature, in fact, government in general is best when it's closest to the people and not centralized in a state government far away. So you couple that with the fact that our vote today to now create a funding source for the schools, which everyone wants to see good schools. Question is, how do you achieve that funding? I see a troubling trend where the state is seems to have an impulse to pull power up to Dover while pushing responsibility to generate revenue and fund these initiatives down to the county and even local levels. And I find that troubling if that trend continues. We could point to four or five examples over the past year or two where the state has stepped in to take power to Dover and away from the county. And yet we also see with fire service and potentially other requests coming where traditionally the state has carried the load to a much greater degree than the county has, and yet it seems to be shifting so that the county is going to be more and more responsible for generating that revenue. So I'm just making just kind of opining here, I suppose, but I do find that the general trend a bit troubling.
So. Okay, anybody else?
If I get an opportunity to help save people on their tax bills, I will take that every time. And, you know, I like that control locally. I feel that Sussex County residents have much better influence in Georgetown versus having their voices heard in Dover.
Very good. Okay. Next, we'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
A second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now in executive session downstairs.